to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am Ursula Rudenberg, one of your hosts for this next hour, here with Maggie Westfold and Pat Schlarbaum.
This is Friday. Let's start, as always, with a roundup of local news from the pages of the Ames Tribune from Dennis Hart.
Thanks very much. As always, it's good to be here on this Friday. Let's start our news rundown with a look back at last Saturday's Ames Tribune, which reported that 1 year after DuPont announced that it was looking for a buyer for its ethanol plant in Nevada, that goal had been reached. DuPont announced that Verbio North America Corporation will acquire DuPont's plant. Verbio North America is the U.S. subsidiary of a leading German bioenergy producer, which focuses on developing and installing new technologies to produce first and second generation biofuels from biomass and crop residues. It will use its Nevada facility as part of a new renewable natural gas plant and plans to begin commercial production of renewable transportation fuel by the summer of 2020. Nevada Mayor Brett Barker said, in his words, "It's great to have an established renewable energy company invest in our community." Also Saturday in the Trib, word that the Story County Community Foundation named two major grant recipients during an award ceremony at Ryman Gardens. The Salvation Army received $25,000 to buy a cargo van for their retail donation program. And the City of McCallsburg received a $25,000 grant to support an addition to the City Park Shelter House. Saturday's Trib also reported that cold winds and gray skies did not keep residents away from the last county town hall meeting held by Iowa Republican U.S. Senator Joni Ernst at Ames City Hall last Friday. Ernst told the crowd it was her last of 99 county town hall stops, and as she put it, "I saved the best for last." She answered numerous questions from the audience, among them, what efforts will be made to protect the investigation being conducted by Robert Mueller into possible Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential election. Ernst said, in her words, "It's important to finish the investigation." Another questioner asked if there was any circumstance under which Ernst would vote to impeach President Trump. She said unless there is wrongdoing that's proven, she would not vote to impeach. Saturday's paper also reported that Governor Kim Reynolds had appointed Angela Doyle to the position of district court judge in District 2B. That district includes 13 counties, among them Story, Boone, Hamilton, Hardin, Marshall, and Webster counties. Doyle has been an associate district court judge in Iowa's 2nd Judicial District since 2011. Her appointment fills the vacancy created by the death of District Court Judge Timothy Finn in August. Saturday's Trib also had a front page photo of Friday night's Snow Magic Festival, which kicked off the holiday season in downtown Ames. And the Trib reported on the annual Veterans Day ceremony, which was set to take place last Sunday at the Ames Public Library. Sunday's Trib featured a story about why the November 6th election had its highest midterm turnout since 1982. Nearly 62% of eligible voters cast ballots this November. Iowa State University political science professor David Peterson told the Trib that both the Democratic and Republican parties did a good job of turning out their bases. He said President Trump did a good job of rallying the GOP base, while Democrats did a better job of recruiting new voters. He also commented on Iowa's race for governor, where Republican Kim Reynolds defeated Democratic challenger Fred Hubble. Peterson said he thought Hubble won on the issues, but lost on personality. Also Sunday, word that a group of students from the Nevada Middle School recently stepped up to collect items to help foster children in Story County. There was also a story about the Old Main Brewing Company restaurant on Main Street in Ames, which recently received a $75,000 grant from the Iowa Economic Development Authority. Old Main will use the money to add a four-season rooftop bar to its building, an addition that owner Scott Griffin said would create, in his words, a unique dining venue which will attract hundreds of people to downtown Ames every week. Griffin also said he anticipates adding 20 new employees once the expansion is complete. The building was constructed in the 1930s and was occupied by Woolworths until 1971. Also last Sunday, which was Veterans Day, the Trib had a feature story about the McFarland family of Ames, which has a legacy of military service. And, of course, the Sunday paper had plenty of news about Iowa State University's football victory over Baylor, 28-14, last Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium. The Cyclones' next game is tomorrow in Austin, Texas, against the Texas Longhorns. The Trib is not published on Mondays. Tuesday's paper had word that the Ames School Board discussed open enrollment issues on Monday night in the wake of a report that the school district's fall 2018 enrollment had reached 4,386. That's an increase of 87 students from last year. Tuesday's paper also had a report about the Ames ceremony honoring veterans last Sunday. Mayor John Hala told a crowd at the public library that whether one agrees or disagrees with conflict or war, it's important to pay tribute to the sacrifices made by those who protect the country in the military. And Tuesday's paper reported that taps rang through the Iowa State Memorial Union Great Hall on Monday as three former ISU students who were killed while serving in World War II were honored during a Gold Star Hall ceremony. That's an annual event honoring ISU students who lost their lives while in military service in a war zone. Their names are engraved in the limestone walls of the Gold Star Hall. The names of about 600 ISU veterans who have died in wars are on those walls, and names are added when they become known. Tuesday's trip also had word about what happened back on election night in Nevada. What happened was that two house fires stretched the limits of the fire department. The first one broke out at 6:30 on election night at a house on 5th Street. Someone at the house was grilling when flames from the grill reached the wall of the garage. Firefighters arrived 2 minutes after the blaze was called in, but flames had already engulfed the garage and were spreading through the attic of the house. The house was extensively damaged. The family's dog died. Firefighters were still on the scene of that blaze when another structure fire broke out on 600th Avenue northwest of Nevada. That fire caused extensive damage to a wood frame storage machine shed and a corn crib. And one more note of note in Tuesday's Trib, word that trains will be rolling through Ryman Garden starting tomorrow, Saturday. The custom-built garden-scale train will travel around and under miniature buildings and bridges that are historically significant to Iowa State University. And all of it is inside the Hughes Conservatory at Ryman, which will be decked out with Christmas treats and other holiday decor and plantings. The exhibit continues through January 6th. Wednesday's Tribune reported that the Weekly Standard magazine had released an audio recording of Iowa Republican District 4 Congressman Steve King seeming to refer to immigrants from the West Coast as dirt. The recording was made during a King campaign stop on the Monday before the November 6th election. A King spokesperson said the Weekly Standard misrepresented the congressman's comments. Also Wednesday, the Trib reported that the case against an Ames man who was accused of sexually assaulting a woman while threatening to kill her with a knife was dismissed on Tuesday. Story County Attorney Jessica Reynolds said there was not enough evidence to prosecute 57-year-old Marvin Gene Lewis beyond a reasonable doubt. There was also word that the Ames Public Library held its final input session to hear library director candidates present and answer questions from the community. Eric Seuss, who is a public library director from Pocatello, Idaho, was the last of the three finalists for the Ames position to have a public forum. Whoever is chosen will replace current library director Lynn Carey, who will retire in January. Wednesday's Trib also had a preview of a mental health conference that was set to be held last night, Thursday, at Ames High. Students and their families were able to learn about the symptoms of mental illness and learn about possible ways to address the issue. Wednesday's Trib also had word that a select group of Ames High School vocalists will take part in the 30th annual Madrigal Dinners production. Those dinners will be held at Northminster Presbyterian Church November 29th through December 1st. 28 singers were selected for the Madrigal, making it one of the most prestigious performance groups at the high school. And the Tribune had a feature story on the front page on Wednesday about Mike Gilger, who runs his family's jewelry design business along with his wife and two sons on Main Street in Ames. In recent years, he has shifted some of his attention from the custom jewelry his store is known for to his art. He recently opened an art studio in the basement of his store at 236 Main, and that's where he's put 140 of his paintings in a space called the Underground Art Gallery. Thursday's Trib, yesterday's, reported that the Boeing Company, which is known for designing, making, and selling airplanes, rockets, and missiles, has committed $6 million to Iowa State University in hopes of enhancing the educational experience for its students. A big part of the gift will support construction of the university's Student Innovation Center, which is scheduled for completion in January 2020. Also Thursday, word that Ag Startup Engine, which is located within the Iowa State Research Park, announced that the seven agricultural startups in its portfolio of companies have collectively raised more than $10 million in follow-up investments. Also Thursday, a report that J.D. Scholten, the Democrat, who lost to Republican incumbent Steve King in Iowa's 4th Congressional District election last week, met with supporters Wednesday in Ames, and he did not rule out a future run for public office. In his words, "I have no idea what I'm going to do next," and he said he's meeting with people to help him decide his next step. And one more note from yesterday's paper, word that Alley Cakes on Main Street in Ames plans to close its doors for good on December 29th. LE Cakes opened in 2015 and received national publicity when it appeared on the Netflix show Sugar Rush. The bakery's owner said it's time to move on to the next phase of her life and that she's looking for a new owner for the space. And that is your summary of the week's news as reported on the pages of the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart. I'll be right back here on Monday with a look at news from around the state of Iowa this past week. In the meantime, have a great weekend.
My window, the autumn leaves of red and gold. I see your lips, the summer kisses.
I see you.
To home since you went away, the days grow long, and soon I'll hear a winter song. But I miss you most of all, my darling. When autumn leaves start to fall,
that was Eric Clapton with Autumn Leaves. And thank you, Dennis Hart, for the summary of local news from the pages of the Ames Tribune. This is that time of year when we ask you to donate to KHOI. Our financial goal with our current membership drive is 50 new members and $40,000. We hope you will contribute. The website to donate is khoifm.org, and you will see the donate button on the homepage. Again, that's khoifm.org.
Since we are asking you to join us in support, we enjoy sharing our process with you as well. We always say that Local Talk is a training workshop, and this is definitely true, right, Maggie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Very true.
We learn all aspects of production, from interviewing, recording skills, and editing. What we have had to learn is to talk all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing how many times your mouth does not obey your brain. So check out, here's some of our bloopers from past and present when talking on the radio didn't exactly work out. And since he's not here to defend himself, let us start with Mr. Dennis Hart himself.
Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Dennis Hart, one of your hosts for today, together with Ursula Rudenberg. Ursula, good to be back with you again today.
Hello, Mr.
That was too much, right? That was way too much.
I got thrown out.
All right. Okay. Let's do that one again. Let's try that again. Here we go.
Okay.
Welcome to Local Talk. All right. Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events here in Central Iowa. I'm Dennis Hart, one of your hosts for today, together with Ursula Rudenberg. Ursula, good to be back with you again today.
Hello, Mr. Hart. Good to be back with you again today, as always.
Yes, we have a very big show today, and I don't know where we go after that. I just have no idea where we're going.
Let's face it, the magic's over.
The magic's over. When you're not live and you know you can screw it up, you screw it up, right? Shall we do it one more time? How did we get into the news, though? What did we say?
I said, Dennis, you got news for us?
And I probably said, not today, baby. I got nothing today. Here we go. Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events here in Central Iowa. I'm Dennis Hart, one of your hosts for today, together with Ursula Rudenberg. Ursula, good to be back with you again on this broadcast.
It's good to be with you, Mr.
Hart. Dennis Hart is my name. Wow, you forgot my name. Dennis Hart. Okay.
I guess so.
Want to try it again?
All right, this time, I will get it right this time.
No, that's okay. I'm having fun. Okay. I have nowhere to go. This is it for me today. I got nothing. I know
raining.
You. What's that?
And it's still raining.
Okay. Okay. So are you going, let me ask, before we do that, are you going to respond and then just say you've got some news for us, or is there going to be a back and forth? Because that would help me.
I'll just say we got a great show today,
and first let's hear
the news.
And we start with the news.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Aladdin, this is really it.
This is it.
Take 93. Welcome.
Take 94.
94 coming up. Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events here in Central Iowa. I'm Dennis Hart, one of your hosts for today, together with Ursula Rudenberg. Ursula, it's good to be back with you again on this broadcast.
It's good to be with you too, Mr. Hart. And so we have a great show today. So let's start out. We have a great show today.
You can't do it, can you? You cannot do that.
I'm just going to keep going.
Okay.
We have a great show today, Dennis, but as usual, let's first do the news.
Sorry, I forgot it. You have to cut that part out.
All right. I shall employ the magic of editing.
Okay, I knew you would, by the way. That's why I paused before I said that.
Okay, we're done. No.
Done. I'm Joy B., reporter for KHOI. The program at Access is working success. Gosh, the program at Access is success. Why are there so many S's? I have no problem with S's. So just delete that. This program at Access is working successfully and can provide hope and healing. It gives me hope because peer-to-peer education and accountable and compassionate male leadership are peaceful and permanent solutions. Sa-sa-sa-sa. In case you need extra S's.
Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Kay Puttock, one of your hosts today, together with my co-host, Maggie Westerville. Hello, Maggie.
More
friendly. It sounds too...
He's like, hello, Maggie.
Well, it sounds too businesslike. That's sort of my normal voice. Hello, Maggie.
Just say it with a little bit less severely.
Hello, Maggie. Did that sound phony?
That's nicer.
No, I just you know.
I'm Ursula Rudenberg, KHOI station manager, and this being the day before election, we are breaking into our regular program briefly with an interview with the candidate for the 4th District of the House of Representatives, J.D. Scholten. For the next few minutes, I'll be asking Mr. Scholten questions, and I'm here with Mr. Keith Pontenay from Boone, who will also be asking some questions.
Welcome to KHOI, Mr. Scholten.
Try it again.
Welcome to KHOI, Mr. Scholten.
Mr. Scholten.
Scholten. Yes, there you go.
That is his name.
It is his name. Welcome to KHOI, Mr. Scholten.
When farmers are struggling with the cost of production and trying to make a buck, this is not the time to be doing this. And I talked to some of the older farmers, and they're very frustrated, but they said, we might be able to get through 2018. But if this happens and continues to 2019, it could be devastating. Sorry.
Some water? You got water?
I got some.
Okay.
I've been talking more in the last 15 months than I have in my entire life.
And if anybody has any questions, they certainly can get in contact with me at Iowa State University. JATHAN at iastate.edu. And I could certainly give it to you in the phonetic alphabet if you'd like. Juliet Alpha Tango Hotel Alpha November at India Alpha Sierra Tango Alpha Tango Echo dot.
Wow.
Echo Delta Uniform.
Excellent.
Thanks for your help. It wasn't so much remembering the phonetic as it was the spelling.
Hear me bitching about the fun drive on air. Oh. Screw this station. It's just not worth the trouble.
This is KHY 89.1 FM, Story City Ames. You are listening to Classical Sunday. The next four pieces you will hear will be the four movements of Dvorak. 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 That sounded good, right? All right. The next four pieces you'll hear will be the four movements of Dvorak. Dvorak.
Got it.
The next four pieces you'll hear will be the four movements of Dvorak Symphony number Dvorak.
Got it.
All right. So that's that. We're good.
It's a wrap.
Hopefully that will inspire you to join the KHOY experience and become a member donor. Call 515-292-2878 to pledge a membership of $55. And that number is 515-292-2878 or pledge online at khoyfm.org. That's khoyfm.org. And now I'd like to hearken back to one of my earlier experiences in life from 1972, living in our nation's capital. And community radio there was involved with fundraising. And I think about this moment from time to time because the fundraising always started with a pretty catchy tune at the time, Peaches in Regalia by Frank Zappa. And to this day, when I see Peaches in Regalia in my mind, I think about contributing to WGTB. And this is Pat Schlarbaum contributing to community radio. The lights on the ninth story were definitely blinking powerfully on off into the night. Like a code to the heavens that all was going well that cold night in our nation's capital. From the parking lot at 19th and Constitution, the occupation of the Bureau of Indian Affairs was proceeding on November 7th, 1972 in Washington, D.C. Richard Nixon would get a landslide victory that night, yet the American Indian Movement was hunkering down for a sixth night of an occupation. A misunderstanding over the length of a critical meeting involving the Trail of Broken Treaties had grown to a takeover on November 2nd by Native Americans that included Russell Means, Dennis Banks, and Carter Camp. Word had spread that a way to lend support to the Native movement, including flashing your car lights from the adjacent parking lot at the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and subsequently they would respond by flashing their lights on and off from the ninth floor. And they were flashing all the lights. The occupation was receiving short shrift from national news, However, the story was receiving vital updates from a fledgling community-based radio station, WGTB, from Georgetown University in our nation's capital. Daily updates became hourly assessments of the drama unfolding as members of the American Indian Movement documented government overreach and graft upon Native Americans. And here's why I want to share this story. After each WGTB radio report, an appeal was made to support the occupation and contribute to community radio to keep this important story alive as deadline after deadline for the occupation to cease came and went. It was from this story that the power of community radio became obvious to this listener. The appeal worked. I shared what meager extra cash I had. Membership, as I recall, was $25, or whatever amount you are able to share. And when I was discharged from the military a few months later, a portion of my severance was dedicated to WGTB. I could spare $35. The soundtrack for their financial appeal has always brought to mind the beginning of my support to community radio. Peaches in Regalia by Frank Zappa on the album Hot Rats. May this appeal for funding ignite a commitment from you to strengthen our community through communication. Each of us has an aha moment when the power of community-based radio became real. Please act upon that realization right now and become a member or contribute what you can to keep the airwaves flowing with music, news, and commentary. Please contribute and become a member of the growing family of KHOI supporters. We are the heart of Iowa and need to include your heart in our community radio family. So thanks to community radio and thanks to WGTB these 46 years later and growing. And as far as the 20 points originally raised by the Trail of Broken Treaties by the Native Americans, most still remain unaddressed. But the work goes on.
Thank you, Pat. This is Local Talk on KHOI. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, one of your hosts here this morning, together with Maggie Westfold and Pat Schlarbaum. At one time, KHOI was only a glimmer in the eyes of those who imagined a local media outlet in central Iowa that reflects who we really are and what really happens to us in our community. Today, KHOI builds community through communication. That's the official mission. On a daily basis, when thousands of Iowans bring their projects and passions to the air, express their concerns and share their stories, ideas, and talents. This local media space for local connection, pride, and information is truly precious and worthy of protection and support. Although Washington, D.C. has recently called independent media the enemy of the people, independent media is, in fact, us. It is the essence of our humanity and the essence of democracy. KHOI, which stands for Heart of Iowa, the HOI, went on the air in 2012 following a historic one-time opportunity given by the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, for local nonprofits to acquire radio frequencies. KHOI was funded, built, and launched by volunteers, helped by community radio experts who came from across the country to help out and get KHOI on the air. Historic Ames Pantorium storefront in downtown Ames was chosen to be KHOI's home because it provides an inviting space where people can come off the street and make radio, and also to hold concerts. We have regular concerts in the storefront area. At first, programming was created inside a makeshift tent made out of old quilts for soundproofing. And actually, some of the audio you heard earlier came from that tent, right, Pat?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Quite a place. Humble beginnings, but it worked.
Humble beginning. Finally, in 2013, three studios were built with funding from Prairie Moon Winery and Story County Community Foundation. Volunteers did most of the construction work. KHOI airs some nationally syndicated grassroots programming, but really constantly works to develop local broadcasters and newcomers find their voice and learn reporting, production, and DJ skills here at KHOI. We are also pleased to have some local old radio pros, too, including Mr. Dennis Hart and Paul Wearson.
Yeah, Paul Wearson.
Yeah. Community radio is a global media movement that embodies the human impulse to communicate. And that's why it feels so good. It facilitates democracy around the world. Wherever there's democracy movements, you're bound to hear community radio springing up. And it humanizes events of our times. For this reason, stations like ours are precious, but they're also fragile since they completely rely on citizen participation as well as local donations. In recent times, community radio has come under attack for its independence and for reporting what is happening to everyday people instead of reading press releases of the powerful or chasing controversy simply for profit.
This is Maggie Westfold again. This is your local media, and you are what makes it meaningful and possible. And we thank you for listening. Ursula, I like what you just said, the human impulse to communicate. That's a very meaningful phrase. It kind of embodies why I love doing Points to Ponder. Today I'm going to talk about being a volunteer. And before I talk about how I ended up being a volunteer at KHOI, I would like to just share my pathway for 40 years as a volunteer, just to maybe trigger a possibility for one of our listeners about something they might enjoy getting involved in. My husband and I, in raising our two children in Ames, we were both involved off and on as volunteers in various school and church activities and in the workplace. Also, there were advantages for parents, too, with certain of those roles, such as the time that I sat on a committee of parents at Ames High while our daughter attended. We met monthly with the school principal to talk about concerns we had regarding school activities or policies. And it was informative for me to learn during one of those meetings that sophomores were actually not allowed to leave the building during lunch hour, which differed dramatically from what we had been assured by our sophomore daughter was a fine practice. Her number was indeed up on that point. During the same time frame, I also was making visits to new moms in Ames to help them adjust to caring for their newborns. Any young woman who gave birth at our local hospital back then was offered a visit by a volunteer once she returned home. Many who did not have family close by were grateful to have someone stop by once in a while. I enjoy the newborn to 6-month baby stage very much, so this was sort of a natural for me. I still remember one young mother in particular who really seemed to need her mother at her side. As it was, her mother lived across the ocean, and her husband translated for her. She did not speak much English. Hopefully, the heart of one mother spoke to another enough to help her be a bit more comfortable enjoying her beautiful new baby. Writing letters and exchanging them with the pen pal program with fifth graders in Story County has been another gratifying and fun opportunity for me as a volunteer. For the most part, my pen pals have been students from Colonesco, where I went to school as a kid. This gives my pen pal and me a common bond to start with. We talk about my hometown memories, and they think about someone old like me living there a long time ago. The goal of this program is for letter writing to not completely disappear from students' lives in our era of social media when calling and texting with mobile phones has become the primary method of contact. After many years of being a part of this program, I do enjoy getting to know these students and the end-of-the-year party with them. But whether we're accomplishing the goal of keeping letter writing alive, I'm not so sure. Many students do not read or write cursive well. Rather, they keyboard their letters, print them out, and hand-sign them. I hesitate to keyboard my letters. That seems to be undermining somehow the goal of the program, but I'm likely fighting an uphill battle. Several students have asked that I do not write in cursive. I've tried to comply and print letters. One student was challenged in comprehending English. For her, I wrote both in cursive and printing to try and help her learn to read English. There may be a hand letter writer in the future among all these young folks I've had for pen pals, but I'm not sure that I would put my hard-earned dollar down on that bet. Once I was totally retired and not working, about 2015, I started thinking about new and interesting volunteer possibilities for myself. Not long after, I came across an obituary in the Ames Trib for B.J. Kearns. I was saddened and touched as I read about B.J.'s life, the illness that ended her life, and how she had loved her time volunteering at KHOI Community Radio doing Evenings with Elizabeth on Sunday evenings. Coming across her obituary and then seeing KHOI jotted on my list of possible volunteer endeavors, it seemed to say something to me. So I emailed Ursula Rudenberg. KHOI station manager, and I asked if I could talk to them about helping out in some way. What I had in mind was answering phones or stuffing envelopes, but that's not quite the way it has gone. Ursula's assistant at the time, Becca, asked during our interview if I'd be interested in doing some reporting for local talk. What's a reporter do? Well, she said, they find interesting people and talk to them about what they love to do, their passion in life, things like that. There would be a meeting soon that morning there in the studio. Could I just hang around and meet some of the folks involved? Okay, I could do that. The meeting became very interesting quite quickly. I think it was the very next morning that my woodcarver husband, Steve, ended up coming down to the studio with me to be a part of a local talk interview with local woodcarver Art Mann to talk about his participation in an Ames Art Walk event taking place that weekend. Steve and I knew Art through our common love of woodcarving, so we were all on the air to talk about carving at 7 a.m. and live, no less. Welcome to the world of KHOI Community Radio, Maggie Westfold, live and on the air. And that was just the beginning, folks, and a far cry from my thoughts of answering phones and stuffing envelopes. Be careful what you sign up for. It's been a fun ride for me these past 18 months or so, and I've learned a lot about how a community radio station has been successfully run for 6 years with willing and able volunteers handling each and every task and responsibility. And to say there's a lot to be managed is a serious understatement of the facts. Ursula, station manager, juggles numerous tasks, literally minute to minute, to assure that programs go on the air. Numerous talented and committed folks spend untold numbers of volunteer hours helping her carry this out, from board members to technicians, student interns, volunteers doing their own programs, like Bob Anders and his Bob's 8-Track Garage Sale, the only program of its kind in the, I believe he says, in the world, probably. And folks like myself who thought maybe they could help out with a clerical task or two and end up behind a live mic. My Points to Ponder segments were originated by a student intern, Saquon Gatlin, this past summer. He did a few segments talking on topics that coursed the pathways of the mind of a mature, indeed wise at times, 20-some-year-old, and a great job he did of pondering his interesting topics. When he said he'd be moving on from KHOI, I asked if he minded if a retired senior gave his idea a shot and did my own version of pondering aloud on the air. Saquon said, go for it, Maggie, so I did. I've enjoyed the opportunity to share thoughts for 5 to 8 minutes now and then. It has not only let me ponder aloud with my opinions on various topics, it's given me a gift, the gift of being able to say thank you to some people who've been important and memorable in my life. For that, I am grateful to Ursula and to listeners who've shared kind feedback. All to say, KHOI listeners, I heartily recommend that you think about being a part of this very successful community radio station. Come on down to the Pantorium building at 410 Douglas and see what we're all about. It's a fun and supportive atmosphere where good people gather and put together great radio programming about Story City Ames and surrounding communities and the good lives of the folks living here. If you have an idea for a program, talk to Ursula about it. Pitch your idea for being on the air for 5 minutes or for an hour, sharing your passion, talking about something you love to do in your life, whatever that may be. You may just convince her to give you time behind a live mic. If you don't think you can volunteer with us, but find that you do love to listen to what KHOI has to offer, we'd appreciate your becoming a member for $55 or buying a sustaining membership for $250. We're in the midst of fundraising once again, and any and all contributions help us pay the bills and keep the lights on. Call 515-292-2878, and someone will take your information, or you can text 515-200-7758 and give that way, or you can also go to our website at khoifm.org and click on the donate button and give. And speaking of that donate button, folks, I have an amusing story that I must share at my own expense. Last fall, about this time, I was on the air with Paul Hertz one Sunday afternoon, listening to his wonderful array of local music musical talent offered on Ready Ames Fire. I actually said live and on the air that you, the listener, could go to our website and click on the donut button. Paul very alertly corrected my goof. He said he was very sorry to inform me and our listeners alike that we do not have a donut button, nor do we offer donuts via our website. But we do, however, have a donate button. I was sad to learn that, folks, but very glad that Paul was there to straighten me out. So do what you can. Support us if you can. This is important programming with no commercial breaks whatsoever, 24/7. And I think that is refreshing radio programming.
Thank you, Maggie. And we are always, all of us, delighted that you have picked up the Points to Ponder segment and keep that going. It's just so much fun always to hear your thoughts.
Just delightful.
Alex Fahar has joined us from the Ames History Center.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Alex. So welcome back. You are married now?
Thank you. Yeah, I got married in October.
Well, congratulations.
Appreciate it. Feels like a year ago now. It hasn't even been a month.
And you took a honeymoon trip?
Yeah, we did. We did a little fun, somewhat loosely following Route 66 out to California. I say that loosely because we hopped on at Joplin, Missouri, and if you've heard that song a thousand
Joplin,
times
Missouri.
Like I have. You know that starts in Chicago. But we figured Missouri, we can go to Missouri any weekend. We were more excited about getting out to Arizona, New Mexico. So we kind of did about the back half of it, and we got off before L.A. and opted for nicer weather in San Diego.
Yeah, so how is Route 66?
It's still there.
Barely.
A lot of those towns you pull up, and there are more abandoned hotels than still functioning hotels. But a lot of cool towns have some really nice museums, have done some cool art displays along the way. So we found plenty of little things to pull over and fill up our 3 weeks of time, that's for sure.
Historians, what do historians do on their honeymoons?
Well,
they go down Route 66.
We go down Route 66. We did a lot of pubs, a lot of breweries along the way. Trying to think of fun ones. Santa Fe, we saw the world's oldest church, the U.S.'s oldest church and oldest house that were from the Spanish missionaries. So that was pretty cool to see that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of old things, you're going to talk a little bit about the history of radio in Ames, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk about our very first station. Yeah, radio, something I listened to a lot for 3 weeks straight there, so it feels just right in line with what I've been up to.
You've been listening to the radio in the car?
Yeah, a lot of car okay. radio. We're trying to catch as much of the local kind of sound as we could, and then a few states where we couldn't find, when you'd hit the skip to next station button and it comes all the way around back to the one you're just on, we would put our cell phones on for a little while at that point. But
okay,
yeah.
So talk to us about KHOI is part of actually a distinguished history in Ames, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
We're the last chapter in what's been many, many chapters. So talk to us a little bit about it.
Yeah, we'll kind of call it like a grassroots experimental radio, kind of that theme. Yeah, well, if you didn't have a guess or would throw your money down, the first radio station was affiliated with Iowa State, which would make some good sense here in town. But
It's also consistent with the history of radio in the United States
that
started with universities.
Yes, those people,
colleges.
Those electrical engineers experimenting for sure. And that's pretty much the story here at Iowa State back in, so it's WI as we know it today is basically what we're talking about. But their history goes all the way back to 1911, so well over 100 years ago.
1911.
Yeah, 1911. So the Iowa State College professor, as Iowa State College as it was known then, Professor Dad Hoffman, Dad being his nickname, rigged up a transmission line from the campus water tower, so that's Marston Water Tower, to the engineering hall, not too long, to establish a wireless telegraph station. So we're not talking voices over the air. We're talking Morse code, beep, beep. Noises going through there. So pretty rudimentary. And it's thought that they were finally able to do their first transmission in 1912, the next year, once they got all the equipment and got the okay from the higher-ups. And newspapers the next year, in 1913, talk about them regularly sending and receiving weather reports by Morse code. And it's at that point that the station was actually not known as WOI, but its first name, 9YI.
9YI.
Could you imagine trying to sign off with that one every day? It just doesn't quite roll off the too many I's in that.
Lots of bloopers there.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, you think try to say that donut button again. Try saying 9YI over and over again. Just not very catchy, is it?
9YI. Okay. I guess the I is for Iowa.
That's actually a good question. That seems like a good guess, at least, there, I'd say. You know, back then, there were no regulations, so yeah. I'm wondering how they came up with those. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm sure someone here on your radio pack over here probably knows a lot of those early call sign regulations.
Can we talk about that just for a second?
Yeah.
Because this is a question we get a lot here at KHOI. What is the K?
Mm.
And the K is because we are west of the Mississippi, and all stations with west of the Mississippi have to start with a K, and all east have to start with a W.
Mm-hmm.
So then people always say, well, why does WI start with a W?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they preceded
they
this
did.
Law.
Yeah, WI, WHO is another one in Des Moines here just because we're so close to the river. But, yeah, I'm from the Sioux City area, and you notice everything is K. If you you know, you watch a lot of movies and TV, you'll start to see that East Coast, West Coast first reports on there.
But the fact that WI only has three call letters is a sign of its legacy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before they had the standardized rules for that. Actually, it just makes me think, wasn't that old TV show KRNT Cincinnati?
WKRNT.
Thing. Okay. I was like, that one got to make sense on that one.
Anyway, sorry, I'm interrupting you.
No,
proceed.
You're right. That was a good thing I was going to bring up because, that really does show its age. And so there's just a couple of those. I don't know if there's any outside of Des Moines that have the W that should have a K if they were founded today. Those are the only two examples I could think of, but maybe there's some people out there that know a few more that we're forgetting and probably some that were around but have gone away or changed hands and got a new number on there, probably. Kind of interesting. So then, and this is still the 9YI years. In 1915, they packed up all that equipment and brought it to the Iowa State Fair as a demonstration of the new technology.
Awesome.
So that's kind of a fun little thing to show the people of Iowa who are making it to Ames. And
look what we're doing.
Right, exactly. Well, finally, in 1921, they got issued their commercial Commerce Department license for the station and got renamed WOI and did their first non-code broadcast on November 21st, 1921, and it was an hours-long music program of concert music. So what a great way to start. It seems like kind of a tradition you hear with some of the other stations.
So up until then, they were just doing Morse code on the air?
I believe so, yeah. Hmm. That was their first non-coded broadcast. So that was when they were actually switched one from what we would call traditional radio today to that in November of 1921. November 21st, that's just
coming up.
A couple days away, a week away.
Happy birthday.
You have to forgive me. I've been out of town for a month. I have no idea what day the month it is.
Congratulations.
So, you know, a lot of things were, you know, concert music was very popular in the early years in the 20s, but they also did ISU sports, so football games were big on there. And they also had a couple programs that they started back in the 20s that made it all the way into this century. One of the first ones was in 1925, Andy Wolfries started the Music Shop. And that was one of the longest running programs. Yep. And that went off air in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And it eventually did switch to WIFM, like a lot of these things did. Another longtime favorite was the Book Club, which started in 1927. Mm-hmm. And that one was also canceled in 2006. So I don't know if I wasn't around the area at that point. I don't know if they had a leadership switchover that a lot of those older programs that were maybe fizzling out a little bit had they kind of pulled off on that and sold it. So, yeah, a lot of those all started. We're still talking AM back then, still AM. And it's not until 1949 that WIFM became one of the first Iowa stations to transmit on the frequency module, FM radio there. So
frequency module, that's FM, right?
You guys are the experts over here. Mm-hmm. And, of course, maybe more people are probably familiar with, too, the WITV that was around. And I was just talking with me and Susan Franzen when she came over yesterday to talk about the program we were going to talk about. We were kind of chatting about the TV and talking about interesting fact about that. If you don't know some of the money that Iowa State got from the Manhattan Project was used to create the TV station over at Iowa State campus. So kind of a fun little bonus we got out of the Manhattan Project research going around there.
Yeah, Alex, when I was about 5 years old, my family did a program on WITV where we ate fondue on the air.
Oh, my gosh. Fondue and were there puppets involved? There just seems like
no
there have to be. No puppets?
Just Swiss mothers serving fondue.
It reminds
fondue.
Me of the cheese and puppets. I was like, so you got the cheese, but where's the puppets? Just serving fondue, teaching you how to.
A Swiss family eating fondue on TV.
I got a good guess at what year that might be.
Amazing action-packed great TV.
Was it a full hour?
It was a full dinner.
Oh, man. It's interesting. We might have to bring that kind of a TV back, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that was, and of course, then they, the late 90s turmoil with WOI that I won't get into the politics of that today. But then WOI kind of came under the National Public Radio umbrella then, too, in the 1970 when that was created. And they played the first NPR program, All Things Considered, on May 1st, 1971, which is one I still listen to today, and I'm sure a lot of people do. So it's kind of – it's an amazing history we have with this radio station, and it's kind of a little pride of Ames that people still talk about when people talk about WI Des Moines, and people always like to correct them. No, it was in Ames first. It was at the college, mm-hmm. The first college to have a radio station and TV stations around in the area. So it was a really big deal for the community here. A pretty sad loss when that moved out of town, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was a wonderful thing growing up with WOI, mm-hmm. I have to say, on a personal... Yeah.
Yeah, this is just... Ames is, Ames is kind of one of those little big towns. Maybe not necessarily to have a full... today you wouldn't see it as having a big TV station, radio station, but back then, what a treat to be in a town of Ames that wasn't a huge town like Des Moines or even, Iowa City that would have been a lot bigger back then, to have a TV station, radio station that was telling your local news, your local stories, and putting your local people on the air, too.
That's right.
Really great thing. Kind of what you guys are recreating over here at KHOI.
Keeping the banner, keeping the mm-hmm. the story going, right? Keeping the voices, the local voices going.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, Alex. We're speaking with Alex Fafer, who's from the Ames History Center.
Yeah.
Alex, real quick, before you go, anything to announce?
Our normal, right now we don't have a lot to see. We just took down an exhibit on Monday, our Smithsonian Sports exhibit that was downtown. And right now we are working on another photo series exhibit that is going to be featuring Farwell Brown photos. So it's called...
Nice.
Exploring Ames, unique selections from the Farwell Brown Archive. And so these are going to be local photos of local locations. So we'll kind of have a number and a map with you so you can look at that. Maybe some of you remember that 1981 train rail derailment on Grand Avenue Underpass. Well, if you're not familiar with it, we'll have a little number telling you where that was. So if you're familiar with that place, you can kind of see that location with this historic context of this building getting constructed nearby, or a train derailment or a fire, and kind of put you in that place and make you think about Ames a little bit differently. Maybe next time you drive by that intersection, you can imagine the things that happened on that corner. Kind of like I do every day when I drive through town.
I'm sure you do.
So,
your website?
That's ameshistory.org, and we're located right down the next building over, 416 Douglas, and we're open on Tuesdays through Saturdays, 10 to 4.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
It's great to have you as always, and thanks for that story about the history of radio in our town. Tradition we are working hard to continue here. And tonight at 6:30, we hope you will join us when former Federal Communications Commissioner Nicholas Johnson will be here, appearing in Ames to speak on media under siege. Here's what Mr. Johnson said recently during an interview on KHOI. He said, a discussion is needed across the country about the extent to which major institutions essential to democracy, of which media is one, are under siege. Americans need to be aware that democracy itself is under siege. Until recent times, I never considered that, but with the rise of dictators and authoritarians around the world, I now realize we are at a real risk. We say it can't happen here, but we are already seeing evidence of cutbacks in higher education, the disappearance of independent judiciaries, voter suppression, gerrymandering, and attacks on the media. And certainly the most important and vulnerable media is our local media.
Nicholas Johnson is the perfect person to lead a discussion about the state of media in this current political climate. A native of Iowa, he served as a controversial federal communications commissioner from 1966 to 1973 when he championed independent media by advocating for citizen participation at the FCC, for public access cable channels and for community radio stations.
Mr. Johnson is donating his time and expenses and autographed copies of his new book, Columns of Democracy, to support KHOI and to encourage you to donate as well. Please join us at 6:30 this evening at First United Methodist Church on Kellogg between 5th and 6th Streets. After his presentation, Mr. Johnson will answer questions and lead a discussion. Join us for an important evening of thought and support for your community radio station.
And you've been listening to Local Talk. We have been your hosts, Pat Schlarbaum,
Maggie Westfold,
and Ursula Runberg. Thank you for listening. Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 5 p.m. on Fridays here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Also remember that you can hear a recording of this show later today online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. Also remember that KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org.
Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. You also heard Autumn Leaves by Eric Clapton. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show, so if you would like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come and join the Local Talk team. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.